Thankful for that. So we can bring you greetings from the Garber congregation. Glad to be here once again. I'm not sure how long it's been since I've been here, but I'm thankful once again to come and worship together. And got to sit with my nephew's home for the first time, and that was exciting to do that. Brother Logan's been dear to our hearts and in his life here. And I seen this. I'm not sure if that was the message this morning or not. Was that the message this morning still left over? That's all right. Because as we think of this subject that's before us, is that as I was, Logan contacted me and invited us for lunch, supper tonight. And we thought, well, yeah, we could take that in. And so we started out, we weren't sure what the weather was going to be like. And we got coming up the road, my wife and I were talking and discussing different things. And we were coming through the tunnels and through the turnpike. And all of a sudden, I decided, you know what, I don't know how to get the Logan's place. I better get the GPS and find out what had it all plugged in. All I had to open it up, you know. And as this sign says here, it says two roads and two destinies and two gates, and it's your choice. And I had a choice what I was going to do. And we come to the Breezewood exit there, and I opened up the GPS, and the GPS said right away, it says, you're on the quickest route. Keep on going straight. And it wasn't but, I don't know, maybe a mile or two down the road, it just flipped just like that and said, yes, you're still on the right road, but you got a 15-minute delay. There's an accident ahead. And we were already pushing time, so as it is. So at that Breezewood exit, I had a choice. Normally I go to Breezewood. But this time I thought, I'm running tight, I'll run the turnpike and run it up to Bedford exit. It's a little faster that way. When you run that road many times going to Allegheny Valley, you soon learn that. And so I had a decision right there. So the decision I made was to obey that GPS. Well, I found out it took us longer that way. So I'm here tonight as we're gathered together here to set up a warning right here. You're going to have two roads. The intimate return is coming. What road are you on? Article number 11, no, number 16. It says, we believe in the personal and intimate coming of our Lord as the blessed hope of the believer, that we who are alive and remain together with the dead in Christ, who will be raised, shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air and thus ever be with the Lord. Now notice the first words of that article. We believe. The intimate return of Christ. What does that word intimate mean? Intimate mean, if I'm pronouncing it right. I'm probably not. Now my wife's shaking no. Which I have struggled with this word anytime. So we'll change it here after a while. We'll have to pronounce that wrong word after a while. What does it mean? It means that it's about to happen. It's impending. Now, I've broken this message up into three parts. The first part I want to look at is your belief. Article of the Confession of Faith in Garden Spot, Missouri, City, Missouri, wrote that we believe in the return of Christ, the intimate return of Christ. That's the first point we want to look at. Second point is we want to look at is the signs of his coming, and then I would like to leave with you how to prepare. How to prepare on these two roads, two gates, two destinies, and your choice on what you're doing. And I could ask for a raise of hands of how many believe that the coming of the Lord is about to happen. And I think every one of us would raise our hands, right? I would like to read some scriptures. Then I want to ask you some more questions. Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to go back there after a while, says in verse 27, it says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east, shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Luke chapter 12, verse 40 says this, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not." Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read some verses here. My point of reading these verses is that we understand that the Scripture says, in an hour that we think not, He's coming as a lightning. Pew! And it's gone. He's coming very quickly. It also says, in a twinkling of an eye, He's coming back. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to start reading at verse 51. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain." We understand that the coming of the Lord is about to happen. But do we believe it? He's coming in a twinkling of an eye. In a moment, when the last trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. I want to ask you some questions. And these are very personal questions. Are you viewing pornography? I asked you, brother, are you viewing pornography? Have you repented of it? Because it's sin. And maybe I look over on this side of the house. Do you have relationship problems? Maybe a sister has kind of rubbed you the wrong way. Got a little gossip going on. Because I know this, we have the same problem, brother. Maybe there's a little bitterness. Maybe there's a little lack of love. Maybe simply I'm just going to avoid that person, etc., etc. Once again, I ask you the question, have you repented? Because it's sin. What does it say here? It says the sting of death is sin. If we understand and we believe that the return of Christ could come any moment, we'll have these issues. That's why it's a warning for us today, is to be ready. I asked you another question. Do you have trouble finding time to commune with God? Now, that's getting down a little bit, pretty close home. Do you have trouble finding time to commune with God? Maybe it's our work. Maybe we're just pretty busy. Maybe we have a lot of pleasure seeking. going on. Maybe it's our gadgetry that is accessing our time. I was talking to Logan tonight. We were talking a little bit about it. I said, you're going to get a little bit of a prelude of the message. It's the burden of my heart. And I asked that first question because I think we as preachers and we as accountability groups have been hitting it square in the nose. Are you looking at pornography? And we have raised the bar. Praise God. We have far too many failures in our past history. And it went underground. But I think we haven't raised the bar enough of our time in communing with God in our gadgetry. Because I believe I understand that we don't understand, and I realize it might be taking out of context, but I believe it's also, we can call it sin. Of wasting God's time on our own pleasures. We'll get into that a little bit later. So I asked another question. If you are still involved, you do not believe in the imminent return of Christ. I'm going to say it the way it is. Because you don't believe the Lord can come tonight. And He could come tonight. But are you ready? In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet. It's over. And there is the feeling of the sting of death. And that sin. That's my challenge, my burden tonight. I looked at my own heart. Do I really believe? If I really believed that the coming of the return of Christ could come at any moment, it's pending, it's about to happen, I wouldn't have these problems. Because I'm going to make my sure I'm ready for when He does come. Because He's coming in a twinkling of an eye. Second part of the message is the signs of His coming. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. As I pondered upon this subject, and as I prayed, sought the face of the Lord, I'm not sure how these rest of these preachers work on subjects, but when I get a subject, I start thinking about it many, many months ahead. Gather information, gather material, and I was going to go in a different direction. I had another passage I was going to look into 1 Thessalonians. If you want to take it for your own personal study, I'm not going there. 1 Thessalonians, I think it's chapter 4, where it talks about the coming of the Lord. Give some signs. But as I read this passage, this psalm, these are words of Jesus. And we can't shy away from them. But the disciples asked Jesus, he said, Jesus is about ready to go. And they asked Jesus, says, what are some times that you're going to have to happen till the return of Christ, till you come back again? And these are the words that he says. Now we'll look at, and I have about, I think, 6 points I'd like to pull out of here, that 5 points that I want to pull out of this passage that I believe are some signs. As you know, and I'm not here advocating, Caton, that we're going to wait till all these signs fulfill, and you'll find out till the end of the message that I'm convinced, and I want to convince you too, that these signs has already happened, and the coming of the Lord is about to happen. It ain't nothing else is going to happen. It's prime. It's ready to happen, and all God's got to say to Jesus, throw in the sickle. And so forth. Gather the church. We're going to be gathered together. I want to read this whole psalm. This whole past psalm, whole chapter. Chapter 24 of Matthew. And I'm going to start reading at verse 3. As we find here that he talks about the temple in the first two verses. And then in verse 3, he changes the subject and he says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in the Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto him them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagle be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, and ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day or hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days, as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over the house his household, to give them meat in due seasons? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now understand, that's 51 verses. But it's a beautiful picture as we think of the imminent return of Christ. That it's about to happen. That the coming of the Lord is about to happen. So what are some signs? Back to the beginning of this passage, verse 4. First sign that Jesus gives, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. No man deceive you. Deception. Deception. As we look at the respect for the holiness of God, what do you see? And I'm talking about worldview. Worldview. What is their respect? Look at the worldview of a respect for God. Let no man deceive you. Let's just look at a couple of them. Let's take the command of the Lord's Day. Simple Lord's Day. What's the world's view of the Lord's Day? Some of us that are a little older, I see a bunch of young faces back through here. But some of us that are older, there was very few businesses open on the Lord's Day. What happened today? You can hardly find one except for Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A that's closed on Sunday. World view of the holiness of God and the command of God to reverence the Lord's Day. It's the world's view. Let no man deceive you. Once again, search your own heart. Let's go to a little bit another one. What about the Bibles out of the schools? I remember when the Bible was read. Well, I never went to public school. How many went to public school? I didn't. None of us did. But I remember my brother-in-law said we used to read the Bible in our public schools. It took it out. And then I think of the respect for the holiness of God. Let no man deceive you. And I hear the comment, and maybe I'm not sure if we choose here. Well, let's use the Bible curriculum for our devotions for school. Well, it's still the Bible, but where are we? What about Christmas? Respect for the holiness of God in a worldview. And they hate Xmas, and we think that's terrible. Brother Joe challenged us this morning in our respect for Christmas to make sure Christ is preeminent. And so many times we get in this festivity of buying stuff and Black Friday and sales and the whole nine yards goes on. And you know what happens? That's where the world's view is. Christ is no longer in Christmas. In our communist countries, they don't even want to have Christmas because Christ is involved in it. World view of the holiness of God. What about divorce and remarriage? World view of the holiness of God in the divorce and remarriage, and you know where we're wrestling with it in the church, our Anabaptist churches. But the world would accept it. Years ago, it was a shame to be divorced and remarried. It was a blot to your name. Now it's accepted. I'm sharing these things in reference to the sign of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, let no man deceive you. The word of God is truth. Do we believe that? What about alternate marriages in the world's view of the holiness of God? Homosexuality. It's rampant. Preachers in the Mennonite church. So-called Mennonite church. What about transgender? And then I wrote in my notes, what will be next? I'm painting this picture. Because Jesus said the first sign is let no man deceive you. As I look at all those facts, as I looked at all those and had to think, it's unrestrained evil. And let's just think back there to that Tower of Babel. What was that Tower of Babel? All these people were gathered together and they were going to make a name for themselves. They were going to do all kinds of stuff. There was no restraint. They could all speak the same language. They had all the same mindset. They were going to build this tower as high as the heavens. How did God stop it? He changed their languages. I want you not to forget that. He changed their language. I asked you another question. How is our view of the holiness of God? How is your view on the holiness of God in reverence for His holy day? When I see it's pressing in closer and closer and closer and closer, and I preached a message at Garber's, and that Sunday morning, my son took some friends that he had, they asked him to do it, to take them to the BWI airport to fly for a pleasure trip. Oh, they said it was going down to a mission. Why? It's because it was cheaper. And I say, what is our view of the holiness of God, even in that simple thing? Of reverence for the Lord. Let no man deceive you. And I feel, brothers and sisters, the world is deceiving us because it's so prevalent. And we get used to it. These are signs of His coming. So much to share tonight. What about our view on divorce and remarriage? Where are we? It's pretty close home, isn't it? And blood runs thick. Let no man deceive you. It's hitting us right between the eyes. What about alternate marriages? What about transgender? What about all this? And we think that's terrible. Deception is at our fingertips, brothers and sisters. That's why I asked you the question, are you having trouble finding time to commune with God? We have all kinds of information at our fingertips. And we can go down through time after time and we can listen to all the world's debauchery and all the world's thoughts on homosexuality and on transgender. And we think it's terrible. What's that doing? That's my fear. The enemy is going to indoctrinate us. Let no man deceive you. He's already deceived us, some, already on the reverence for the Lord's Day. He's already deceived us. We need to get back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? And stick to the Bible. It's a sign of His coming. Take heed that no man deceive you. We can put all kinds of blocks. We can cut all kinds of accountability. But all that information is at your fingertips. Let no man deceive you. That's why I say it's time to lay the blue screen aside and get to reading the Bible. We have a man. I might mention that later. I better wait to bring that in. Second thing. It's found in verse 6 and verse 8. National conflict. We see there's wars and rumors of wars, and we've heard that ever since we were young. There's wars here and wars there and wars everywhere. It's a world's history. But then I had to think. How many remember last year in this country alone of the strange things that were happening? The fires in California. Never heard of that before. Maybe I don't listen enough. But you heard fires burning up thousands of acres and houses after houses after houses. And this year they did it again. Some of them. You look at the floods in the Midwest last year in the South. They're all there. And I also wrote, as I think of national conflict, it's even simply down. You know, it says here that kingdoms shall rise against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And I'm a turkey grower. Been a turkey grower since I'm not sure how long, many years. And I see you think maybe I have it all down pat, and I wish I did. And my boys are taking over, and I think I'd ought to be out on how to raise turkeys. And I throw up my hands. I don't even know how to raise turkeys anymore. All the pestilence, and you know, we're struggling with worms right now in our turkeys. And you think they'd have enough worming medicine out there to do it, to take care of it. They're immune to it. Pestilence. I had to think of also famines. I did a little study. Why am I saying this? These are signs of the return of Christ. It says that today there are 17 million people affected in famines. Today, at 60% of the population is affected by famine today, and 8 million are at the brink of famine. It says in statistics that it's almost the largest emergency in the world. National conflict. Now I ask the question, is the return of Christ about ready to happen? By statistics. Wars and rumors of wars, pestilence in diverse places, earthquakes, strange things happening. Jesus says these things are to happen. Did they happen? Right before our eyes. That's why I say, brothers and sisters, I'm saying it again. Are we ready? Because it's pending. Nothing has to happen yet. He's just ready to come. The third thing, in verses 10 to verse 13. I could read these over, but I'm not going to take the time to read them over. 10 to verse 13 talks about church conflict. These are signs of his coming. It's church conflict. Church history isn't free from conflict. All the way back there in the 1500s, when we find Jacob Aumann and Hans Ritt conflicting over the band. And we could look down through history of conflict that has earned. There was divisions, there's debates and divisions that came. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And I wrote down, this conflict can come in many different perspectives. We have Christ here at 4th Avenue. The church down the street says, we have Christ. Notice what he says here in verse 23. In 23-24, he says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, and there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ." Notice the capital letter in Christ. "And false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now that's one side of the coin. We have churches, maybe you think Allegheny Valley's that. We have Christ there. Come on down here. It's a lot of noise, but no life in Christ. A lot of signs and wonders. And you hear this over and over and over. We have life in the Christian. You people are dead bones. You don't have life. We have all these signs and wonders. Come over here. You don't need all those guidelines. What's the matter? My Uncle Richard says it's like chopping a chicken's head off. It's a lot of noise right before death. All these signs and wonders, and we have miracles, and we have all these things. Jesus says, don't go after him. Don't go after him. Well, we can look on the other side of the fence, and I look at verse 26. And it says, "Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." Maybe we could look at that as more the formalism. And maybe the more the formalism, more the cultural type. But there's no life in Christ. And they say, "You're too progressive." You see the conflict? And we find members going here and there trying to find Christ. And I wonder sometimes if they're trying to search for something that's pleasing to the flesh. Let no man deceive you. It's more fleshly. And they come from a more conservative church. And they have all these rules and guidelines, and they come to 4th Avenue, and they don't have all those rules and guidelines. And well, now we're free. And before you know it, they're at the end of the fence of 4th Avenue. I'm sorry, I'm talking by some experience. I say, why do we throw the baby out with the wash? Put life in maybe the formalism and the cultural practices. Why can't we? Both profess to be living the life of Christ. Do you get my point? Is the return of Christ about ready to happen? Because right before our eyes, a sign that the Lord Jesus gave to us that we're to notice. It's already happening. As I look at the conflict of the church and I think of my lifetime, of the different things that happened in the lifetime, and I don't remember those times in the days before that. And I don't think it's going to get any better. But brothers and sisters, if we believe in the return of Christ is about to happen, I think it's going to stop the church conflict. Point number four. Another sign that Jesus said is going to happen is verse 14, is that everyone will hear the gospel. Do you believe that has happened? I'm convinced it did. You know, the Bible, this holy word had to be carried in a book years ago. It was hard to carry. Remember them smuggling Bibles into China on their backpacks, heavy backpacks, to carry the Bible into the communist countries, into Romania, into Russia? Took in book form. Not many years later, not many years past, is it was carried in flash drives. And now how is it carried? You can pretty well, across the whole world, read the Bible. Digitally. We look at the Pilgrim website. Thank you, Pilgrim Conference, for putting that on. That can be accessed. Messages can be preached into the backwoods. Anabaptist resources. Backwoods. Can read the Bible. Is that sign already fulfilled? I'm convinced it is. Maybe the Lord is waiting for one more soul. I don't know. Is the return of the Christ about to happen? I challenge you. Let's look at the last one. And this one that gets a little home is apathy. Verse 38. Verse 38 says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day of that Noah entered into the ark." It's a sign. Insensibility, lack of concern. Just live life. That's what I see the day of Noah. Can you just give it, just picture with me Noah out there building this ark. He's building this huge ark. It never rained across the face of the earth before. And all these people, and Noah was preaching repentance, preaching the gospel, preaching whatever he could preach. I believe he preached his heart out for 120 years. And they were going around unconcerned. Didn't know until the flood came and washed them all away. Is our digital technology causing apathy in our world? Is it? Absolutely. They say, statistics say, that the attention span of a child is 2 minutes. Why? Because of the digital technology that they're entertaining themselves with. Is the source of our researches, is it taking our time, and we are eating and drinking and we're insensitive and we're apathy to the Word of God. We don't have time. We have a family coming to Garber's. He's an army man. And he's on his journey. He's deported right now. He was at services this morning with the emergency. Come home because he had death in the family. Came home for a week, been gone for 7 months. Brother Richard called me the other Saturday night. He says, Brother Jim, I want you to warn you something. He says, this man has a lot of time on his hands over where he's at. I don't know where he's at. In Germany somewhere. This man has a lot of time on his hand. This man is reading his Bible. When he first came in our circles and he seen brethren greeting brethren, he said, wait a minute. You know what that is. We've been all down that trail. With some of those that come in among us, well, cultural Mennonites understand that. He said, that's appalling. He came back this time and he says, Brother Richard, I've been studying the Bible. He says, Brother Richard, it's Bible. Can I greet you? Where are we? Where are we? What are we doing in our close walk with God? In the holiness of God, do we believe that the return of Christ is about ready to happen? But we don't have time to study God's Word. I don't know where that man's journey is. That man's journey has been come a long ways. He's still in the army. He's still under. He sold all his guns. He used to say, if somebody comes into my house, I'll shoot them. He says, now I can't. Why? Because he had time with God. We look at verse 48 and verse 51. There's apathy within the church. And how many times do we find that? We could go this on the conflict of the church. My goodness, my time's running out. We find individualism. Well, where? Christ hasn't come yet. And he ain't going to come for a while. And it says they begin to smite the fellow servants and to eat and to drink and to be drunken. Individualism. Lack of concern for relationships. And we see this smiting one of another because of what I believe and what you don't believe. Notice, I want to try to bring this into the church itself. And we could say, you know, well, because of where I am, you shouldn't have a smartphone. And we begin to smite each other. Smartphone versus no smartphone. Cap type coverings versus flowing veils. And we get this conflict, we get this smiting back and forth. Apathy. Beard or no beard. Shoes or sandals. And the list goes on and on and on. Brothers and sisters, it's a sign of his coming. When we begin to find ourselves apathy in that and we become individualistic and say, you should believe the way I believe. And begin to smite one another. God help us. We're losing the brotherhood, brotherly accountability. But look at verse 51. Those individuals, there's no hypocrites out in the world. We're not talking about the world. But he says, and he shall cut them asunder. And appoint them his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a sign of his coming. It's apathy. Is the return of Christ about to happen? Well, I would like to close with some thoughts on the return of Christ is about to happen. It's time to prepare. I'm here at the beginning. Prepare. We do have two roads. How are you preparing? Number one is found in verse 44 to verse 47 is faithfulness. Jesus says here, he says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour that you think not that the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, and give him meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Faithfulness. He's coming back for his own. Only his own. He's not coming back for the individualism. He's not coming back for those that are in apathy. He's not coming back for those that have church conflict. He's coming back for his own. And let's read a couple verses. John chapter 12, verse 24. These are Jesus' words, and I could read some more, but I just want to read this one. In John chapter 12, in verse 24, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man shall serve me, let him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." These are Jesus' words. Faithfulness is I'm willing to lay myself down on the ground and be covered with humus. Dead. Dead. That I might bring life. You could look at Mark chapter 9. Therefore, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." Number two, in preparing for the coming of the Lord is watch. Watch. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13 says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not the hour." It says, "Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking his far journey, who have left his house and gave authority unto his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house shall come, at evening, or at midnight, or in the cock crow, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Revelations chapter 16. Read one verse. Revelations chapter 16 and verse 15. He says this. He says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Watching is being clothed with humility. That's watching. Watching is not just lazily watching. Watching is work. Watching is being clothed with humility. "Humble servants, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, and all be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Revelations chapter 3, verse 4. "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels." Watch. Preparing, number three, is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 and verse 5, is live the life of Christ. Let's just turn to that one. My last one, Philippians chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5. Says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust, in the flesh I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the Sabbath. That's not the right reference. I got the wrong reference. It's chapter 4 and verse 4 and verse 5. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That word moderation means gentle, patient, unselfishness, forbearing spirit. He's coming for his own. That's how we prepare. In closing, I would like to read a song. I would like you to think. This is an old song. I dreamed of the great judgment morning. We could sing it. I'm sure it's not in our songbooks. But I would like to read this prayerfully. I want you to contemplate your life. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Do you understand that the return of Christ is pending? The return of Christ is about ready to happen. Where will you find yourself? I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the great white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood on the land and the sea and sworn with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. The rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away. The pauper, he stood in the judgment. His debts were too heavy to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness, when death came, was left far behind. The angel that opened the records, not a trace of his greatness could find. The widow was there with the orphans, and God heard and remembered their cries. No sorrow in heaven forever. God wiped all the tears from their eyes. The gambler was there with the drunkard and the man that had sold them the drink, with the people who gave him the license. Together in hell did they sink. The moral man came to the judgment, but his self-righteous rags would not do. The men who had crucified Jesus had passed off as mortal men too. The soul that had put off salvation, not tonight, I'll get saved by and by. No time now to think of religion. At last they had found time to die. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, as the lost were told of their fate. They cried for the rocks and the mountains. They prayed, but their prayer was too late. Where are you tonight? Do you believe in the intimate relationship of return of Christ? Do you honestly believe it? Are you living a life that portrays that? Because we looked at the scriptures, brothers and sisters, as Jesus said, these are the signs of his coming. And I believe they're all fulfilled. It's about to happen. Will you be ready? God bless you.